in chapter number 13. 2 Corinthians chapter number 13. Before we read our text, give you a little background. The Corinthian church was not a very mature people. And so they had all kind of problems, moral problems and attitude problems. And it comes out in these letters when Paul is writing to them. And they had a series of discussions questioning Paul's apostleship because he came later. And they had all kinds of complaints against him. You can tell from Paul's writing in this chapter that they not only questioned his apostleship, but the truth is they didn't think the apostle Paul preached hard enough. They thought he lacked in great authority and great power. Some had said that when he appeared to them, he seemed kind of weak and his speech somewhat contemptible. And so to them, it appeared to be that he was lacking in this power and authority, and they made reference to this and began to seek a proof of him, that indeed he was an apostle of Christ and that he was given authority to establish to them the truth of all that Jesus began to do and to preach. And if you'll notice in our text in chapter 13, let's pick up in verse number 3. The Bible says, "Since ye seek a proof of Christ speaking in me, which to you word is not weak, but is mighty in you. For though he was crucified through weakness, yet he liveth by the power of God. For we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God toward you. Examine yourselves, whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates? But I trust that ye shall know that we are not reprobates. Now I pray to God that ye do no evil, not that we should appear approved, but that ye should do that which is honest, though we be as reprobates. For we can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth." Let's pray. Father, help us now, we pray, as we look to the powerful portion of the Holy Word of God, Lord, that it might have the impact, Lord, of that which you have sent it. And God, I pray that you might, by the Spirit of God, open our hearts and minds, and Lord, that we might truly examine our own selves. And Lord, that we might consider, are we truly in the faith, and do we manifest that by the spirit of weakness in our dependence upon Jesus Christ and our worship and our fellowship in Him. Father, we do pray for someone who may be here and this issue of salvation not be settled, that God, they may believe in God and may believe in what the Bible says about Jesus, but they've never seen themselves as a sinner and never realized what Jesus has done. Therefore, never have called upon Him for mercy and for grace in trusting Christ as their own Savior. God, I pray today you might do that great redeeming work. Bless us now, Father, and help us as your people. And those who are saved, that, Father, we might give evidence that we truly are in the faith. And we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Notice here the Apostle Paul, as he begins to write to them about their desire for him to be proven, the Apostle Paul establishes a principle here that even the mighty Son of God, the great power invested in Jesus, all power given to Him. Jesus Christ was God in human flesh, and we know that He had great miracle power. We've read of His power to heal. We've read of His power to raise from the dead. We read of the great text of Scripture when He sent the disciples to pass the other side, and He met them halfway in their journey in the middle of the night, having walked on the water. But Paul is testifying that the great purposes of God, the great accomplishment of Jesus Christ, the great salvation of the sinner was done through the spirit of meekness when he withheld all that power, submitted himself to the Father's will, and became weak that he might be strong, and offered himself as a lamb before the shearers is dumb, and was crucified, and all of that for the mighty purposes of God in saving the sinner. So the Apostle Paul relates the simple truth that even the Son of God himself fulfilled God's purposes by manifesting that spirit of meekness in surrendering to the will of God. And so, I want you to notice with me three simple things this morning. First of all, the triumph of faith. The triumph of faith. We find here in the verse number 4, he said, "For though he was crucified through weakness, yet he liveth by the power of God. For we also are weak in him." Notice here the principle the Apostle Paul is establishing, that it is our perceived weakness that brought us to Christ. When it comes to our righteousness, when it comes to our goodness, we discovered our weakness. We discovered, that we were transgressors, that we were sinners. A man never really truly comes to Christ for salvation until he sees himself a sinner. And the Spirit of God brings conviction to our hearts, making us realize that we hadn't got past the first commandment, much less the rest of them. That we have not loved God. We've treated God shamefully. Disrespect, dishonored Him who has given life to us and give us breath in our life. We have not praised Him. We have not worshipped Him. We have not submitted ourselves to Him. We have not listened to His Word. We have disrespected and dishonored Him. We haven't got past the first commandment, for we are condemned by Holy Scripture and by the Spirit of God that we are sinners. God deserves to be loved with all of our heart, soul, and mind. We haven't treated Christ who gave His life for us. We have not treated Him with the honor and respect and reverence He deserves as the Son of God, the Savior, the Lamb who was slain in our place. We have not taken occasion to worship Him as we should. We've not praised Him. We've entertained thoughts of slander and disrespect. We have opened our ears for those who would hate Him, slander Him, those who would say abominable things about Him, and we have raised no opposition. We have not defended Him. And sometimes we laugh. We participated. What I'm simply telling you is, listen, a man needs to understand he's a sinner before he'll ever get saved. And so the Apostle Paul is establishing what is the great triumph of faith. It is your perception of your weakness, your inability, your unworthiness that drives you to Christ. And because I have come to Christ, here's what I have discovered. I have discovered a grace, a strength, that I do not have, that was given by God. Paul's issue, you remember, with the thorn in the flesh. You remember the Apostle Paul had prayed concerning this thorn, whatever it was. Some consider it might have been his eyesight. But he come and he made his complaint to God. He asked God for healing, but God told him no. That messes up some people's theology. But God told him no. The Bible said, and here's what the Lord said, "And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." You know what he was saying, the Apostle Paul? "I've allowed this handicap to make you more dependent." You know why? That'll give you more power. Your power to serve me, your power to influence the world of Christ is not you, Paul, it's me. It's me. And when you bathe yourself every day in the power of the Spirit, you'll have that power to influence the world for Christ. If you go out trusting in any portion of your ability, your strength, you'll go forward and you'll not be effective. The power is God's. The power to convict is God. The power to redeem is God. The power to save is God. The power to influence men for Christ, that's God's power. God wants us simply to be vessels and let Him do the filling. But listen, we only will be filled when we understand we're empty. It's only that perception of emptiness that makes us call out to God. It's only when we come to the place in our prayer that, God, I can't do it, that God will show you and enable you to do it. It's when you come to that place and say, God, I cannot live the Christian life. That's the first great hurdle you've just got over to living it. It's to realize you can't live it. It's Christ that lives it. And listen, it is when we seek His fullness, His power, His life, His Spirit, when we come and seek it, asking of Him, Lord, I cannot do it. I cannot make it, Lord. I cannot live it, but I know You can. And when we begin to trust in Him and ask Him, He will give us a strength we do not have. He will give us an ability we do not have. He will give us virtue we do not have. He'll produce fruits in your life we do not have. Why? Because it's all about Him, not about me. Now listen, it's not me learning how to do it. Listen, it's God doing it in me. And so it is that weakness that leads us to victory. It is where we obtain this triumph, this power, the power's in Him. The greater our perception of weakness, the greater we're called to trust in Him. The greater we become dependent. Remember what God said in His toolbox. The Bible said, "But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise." Why? Listen, because people who realize they're not that smart, they depend on God. People who think they know everything, God has no use for them. Listen, it's when we become dependent. The Bible said God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things that are mighty. You know why God chose the weak? Because if you think it's in your strength, listen, you'll not accomplish anything. If you think yourself strong, mighty, and able, and worthy, listen, if you're self-promoting and say, I think I'm worthy and I'm smarter than the rest of them and I'm more spiritual than the rest of them and I can do more than the rest of them do and I've got more things figured out than the rest of them and I got more experience than the rest of them, listen, God's going to set you aside. It's when you come to Him and say, God, I can't do this and I don't know how to do it. God, I don't know how to do it. I don't know how to figure this out. Lord, I don't know how to solve this problem. I don't know what the answer is, God. And when you come, but Lord, I know You do. I want You to guide me, show me, help me, Lord. And the Father revealed to me. You see, the Bible says in the base things of the world that are despised, God has chosen the base things, that is, things that consider themselves completely unworthy. You see, self-righteous will rob you of all the power of God. It's when you come and just confess, God, I ain't nothing, and I am absolutely unworthy. The Apostle Paul, one of the greatest Christians we've ever had record of, one of the greatest missionaries ever lived. But what did he say? He said, of sinners of whom I am chief. We find pronounced throughout Paul's writing his confession of his unworthiness. And so we have here this great principle that he's teaching these believers. You know why? Because the Corinthians were so full of themselves. And you can detect from, listen, their spirit and their attitude, you can detect that they were very immature in the Lord. And listen, that they were boastful. They were lifted up in their minds. They were all puffed up and thought themselves something special. And they came to criticize Him for His perceived weakness. And He didn't seem to fit in what they thought would be the mold of an apostle. And so He's teaching them a principle. And so He turns the tide upon them. And listen, here's what He says, examine yourself. Whether you be in the faith. Paul said, I understand this principle and I live by it. That Christ is my strength. That is, Jesus said, without Him I am nothing. The Apostle Paul knew that and he lived by that. He ministered with that understanding every day that I am unworthy, unable, and can't do it. But listen, I'm going to trust God to help me and to teach me and show me and enable me. He said, I live by that principle. You know what? That's what being in the faith is. He said, you know, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Seek a proof. And so secondly, we have the test of faith. Paul perceived their carnal ways and their unspiritual perception. And so he issued a call of self-examination. You need to stop and consider. Are you in the faith? In the faith. In the faith. In the faith in who? Being in the faith is in the faith of Jesus Christ, right? I am depending, trusting, relying, and resting upon Jesus Christ. That's what in the faith is, right? Listen, to be out of the faith means that you're trusting in yourself or someone else, right? A lot of folk that claim to be in the faith, they're not in the faith. They're out of the faith because they depend upon and trust in themselves. Now listen, that's the reason they have little time for Jesus. Why? No perception that I need Him. And their prayer is pretty much confined to the 911 call. That is when it really gets bad. Kind of like the fellow who, his relative asked the preacher to come by and see him at the hospital. He was in pretty bad shape, but he was recovering. And so they came in and said, the preacher here to see you, we asked him to come by. And he said, is it that bad? Is it really that bad? He thought, man, the preacher can come by and tell you right before you're dead. Other than that, we don't need him, right? Other than that, we're okay. And you know what? Some people about that way about Jesus. I'll call him when I get to the point of dying. Other than that, I'm doing all right. Problem is, you're not doing all right. Okay, your perception is that you can live without Him. I'm going to tell you something. Jesus Christ is life. Amen. And He is the light. Amen. And you can exist for a while, but you can't live without Him. Sooner or later, that will become a reality for everyone. That He is the one we have to have. You say, I'm on borrowed time. And so are you in this physical body. This physical body is dependent. I'm not a self-existent one, neither are you. We're dependent. And we find from the Scriptures that God allows you to live. You are living by the permission of God. That's not a right you have, and it's not a power you possess. Because that can change in a heartbeat or a missing one. That can change just as quickly. And you got no power to change it. God is self-existent. He doesn't need anything to live. God is eternal. He's always living, always will live. He has given you life. And through His Son, Jesus Christ, He has given you opportunity to live forever. That's His gift. The gift of God's eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, that is God's gift that He gives. It's not something you and I earn, not something that we can learn how to do, not something we can possess on our own. It is God's gift. And He gives it by faith in Jesus Christ to those who call upon Him. And so the test of faith, or are you in the faith? Are you believing in Christ? Do you trust Him? Do you confess? And notice what the Apostle Paul, here is this great principle, and here is the test. Look what he says here. He says, examine yourself, whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Well, how? If I'm going to examine myself, and I'm going to test whether I'm in the faith, I'm going to prove it. He gives here the principle that we can apply. He said, no, it is knowledge. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates. He said, here is the test to apply in your life to prove whether you're in the faith. Do you realize without Jesus, you would be a reprobate? Do you have that knowledge? Is that knowledge something that is conscious in your mind? That without Jesus, the word reprobate here means to be a castaway, disqualified, worthless, to be lost. The Bible says here that a man who is in the faith, he understands in his heart, in his mind, he is conscious of it every day of his life, that without Jesus Christ, I would be lost and worthless, unqualified. Listen, I would be a lost sinner. I would be without hope and God in this world. I would turn away from Him. I would pursue a path of corruption. I know, listen, without Him that I would be absolutely worthless and corrupt and vile. That's the reason I came to Jesus, because I realized it. Right? That's what brought me to Christ in the first place. And so, that is what in the faith is. I put my faith in Christ because, listen, He's everything that I'm not. He did everything I can't do. And listen, my only hope of pleasing God. My only hope, listen, of having any redemption to my life, of having anything worthwhile, is the presence of Jesus Christ in my life. I cannot battle the flesh. I cannot battle the world. I cannot battle the devil without the strength I have in Jesus Christ. Listen, I will be whooped. Listen, I will conform to it. I will give in to it. I will fall. I will stumble. I will seek a corrupted pathway if it were not for Jesus Christ in my life. And so Paul says, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith or not by applying this test. Don't you know that, listen, without depending upon Christ, you would be a reprobate? A person's in the faith is going to say, yes, I know it. I know it completely. Listen, Jesus Christ is our strength. The Bible says, be strong in the Lord, that He has made unto us righteousness. The Bible said, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came in the world to save sinners, of whom I'm chief. He came to save sinners. And if there has been a new course, a new direction, if there's been anything that's praiseworthy, if anything of any merit, it was the presence of Jesus Christ in my life. He said, if that's not a reality to you every day, then you're not really in the faith. You're not in the faith. Because that's what the faith is all about. It's clinging, depending, trusting, calling upon, fellowshipping, resting in Jesus Christ. Listen, is the great Savior and Redeemer of my life, that I need Him every day to keep from falling to worldliness and to covetousness. Listen, if it were not for the presence of Christ, the psalmist or the songwriter said it wonderfully. He said, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. We fight that battle every day. The world has been supernaturally designed by Satan to pull you away from God. Don't sit here and tell me you don't feel that pull. Don't tell me that, listen, that you don't experience that influence that comes. And so, listen, we fight that battle, and not only the world, but also our flesh. Listen, the battle with the pride of life is a daily battle. However much you perceive it, it's 10 times stronger than that. The pride of life. The lust of life. The lust of the eyes. The pride of life. All those things. We battle it every day. We battle it. And if it were not for Jesus Christ, we're reprobates. We give in to it. We're corrupted by it. And listen, we'd be walking down a vile, self-centered pathway. And so this is the test of faith. Philippians chapter 3, I won't go through all that, but you know the Apostle Paul, he talked about in his own testimony, that testimony that he wasn't trying to establish his own righteousness, but the righteousness that comes by faith in Christ. And listen, he counted all the things that were gained to him as but dung that he might win Christ. And listen, that's the reason he kept pressing on toward the mark for the prize. It was in Jesus Christ that his life was blessed. I want to tell you, every good thing in my life is because of Jesus Christ. All the blessings I have come from Him. That everything I rejoice in, listen, everything that causes me, listen, to have excitement and joy and peace is because of what He has done in my life. And everything I regret and everything that brings me guilt and sorrow is when I did not walk with Him and did not heed His Word and did not cling to His fellowship. And listen, I look back upon those things, and those things are the things I'm ashamed of. He said, don't you know this principle? Listen, this testing of faith. Let me give you the third one. The truth of faith. He said, prove yourselves. The evidence of knowing. What's the evidence of knowing? Listen, it's our union. If I know without Him I'm a reprobate, what does that mean? It means I need Him. Right? When do I need Him? I need Him every day. Right? And so here is the truth of faith. He said, prove yourselves, examine yourself, look. How do you know that without Him you're upright? And if you really know that, it will affect your life and how you live it. Doing is the proof of knowing. If I know I'm lost without Him, when I was a boy and we were going to a strange place, and, you know, big crowds. I made sure where Dad was at all times. I did not want to get lost in this place. And so you know what I did? I always made sure, kept my eyes on him. Because there had been a time or two I got lost. And I want to tell you something, that's a horrible feeling. When you have no direction where to go, what to do. And I tell you what, I kept my eyes on him. Kept looking. Didn't want to get lost. That is, I knew that he knew where he was going. I knew he could find the way. And so I depended on him. Now, I knew that, and so how did that knowledge play itself out? By what I did. I stayed close. I kept my eyes on. You see, our confession of weakness, our proneness to the flesh, our battle with the world drives us to Him, to be dependent upon Him, to seek Him. And He says, listen, prove yourself. Here's the truth of that faith, and that is that you will seek a faithful worship of Him, that you will seek Him in prayer, that you will have a desire to hear from Him, that you will feast upon the Word of God. And listen, it is proportional to your understanding that without Him you're reprobate. I shared with Matthew a little thing from our past. If you're old as I am or older, you'll understand this illustration. So you older ones, explain it to the younger ones, okay? A little dab may do you for your hair, but it won't do you for your faith in Christ. You know why? Because you don't have the full understanding. Without Him, you're a reprobate. If you did, you'd be here to worship Him. Huh? Right? Your prayers wouldn't just be an occasional 911 call. They'd be a daily part of your life. Your time in the Bible wouldn't be a hit-and-miss proposition, but you'd be regular in seeking what God has to say. Because you understand, without Him, I'd be a reprobate. And so Paul, listen, he turned the tables on the Corinthians. He said, you know what? Y'all need to examine whether you're in the faith. Because if you're in the faith, you know something. You know without Him, you're a reprobate. And if you know that, if you know that, it is going to manifest itself in that perceived weakness. Here lately through Rhonda's treatment, she's had to depend on me for everything. And here lately, even to walk. And so that perceived weakness, you know what she does? She does, honey, I've heard that a lot here lately. And you know what she does? She waits till I get there. She may have to call twice. But she waits till I get there. Are y'all getting where I'm going? Her perceived weakness made her dependent. She did not want to fall. Did not want to have further injury. She was a little insulted we got to the hospital that they made her wear yellow socks. For you that don't know, the color coordinates with the condition, and a yellow sock meant that you could not get out of bed without assistance. And even though that was partly true, she didn't want to have to wear any yellow socks. We had four nurses. Three of them were content and happy with me assisting her. One of them. No. And I'm thinking, I've been going to the gym 6 months. I can bench press you, lady. I can handle my wife. I can handle my wife. 115-pound female telling me that I can't assist my wife. But anyway, so I had a little attitude there, too, I had to work on. But anyway, we pretty much followed the rules. Do you understand what I'm saying? A perception of weakness makes you even more dependent. That's what Paul is saying. He's saying that's what in the faith is. It means I can't do it. So I'm believing in him. I can't face this world and not be spotted by it except through him. I can't deal with my own flesh, my own lustful ways and pride of life. I can't deal with that. And I sure can't deal with the devil. But I know he can. I know he's made unto me wisdom and righteousness and sanctification. I know that he can do it. The Bible's always preferenced our strength as in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord, in the power of his might. Never yours, because you don't have it. And he said, this is the principle here. And so the scripture says, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. It's the word. We look to the word of God. Uphold me according to thy word that I may live, and let me not be ashamed of my hope. Order my steps in thy word, and let not iniquity have dominion over me. Without his fellowship, without his nearness, without his presence, I am a reprobate. And so, listen, if I'm in the faith, I have this perception, I understand this, that I have got to have Jesus Christ. I depend upon him. I cannot do it. I cannot be what he wants me to be. I cannot do what he wants me to do. I can't hold up, but I know that he is my strength and he is my helper and he's God and he will enable me to do everything I'm supposed to do as I learn to depend upon him. Now, let me close. Have you proof of this knowledge? It'll manifest itself. A little dab will do you in the life of the Christian is a contradiction of being in the faith. Because, hey, you know, I don't need but one Sunday a month, I'm fine. No, you're not. Oh, an occasional glimpse at the Bible, I'm good. No, you're not. Not if you're in the faith. Casuality contradicts being in the faith, so does indifference and apathy. It's a false perception that we don't need anything. But it's also a false perception that we are self-trusting, self-sufficient, self-righteous, rather than having the true sufficiency and true righteousness is only found in Christ. And so I'll ask you that same question. Are you in the faith? Are you in the faith? Do you have that perception? If you do, it manifests. It'll show itself. It'll show itself. It didn't take very long for me to realize how weak she was because of how dependent she was. Because that's not her nature. Huh? Right? It's not your nature, not your old nature, to be dependent on anything. But that new nature that comes being born again is teaching you how dependent we are, how much I need you. You know what? Here's the truth. I need to worship Jesus every opportunity I'm given. I need to worship him daily. I need his word daily. I need prayer daily. I need his fellowship every day. Because that's what being in the faith is all about. And if I don't have that perception, it's because I'm still filled with myself, self-trust, self-sufficiency, self-righteousness. I'm going to tell you something. You depend on yourself, you will fall. You will fall. spiritually, you're far more anemic and sickly than you realize. And if you just depend on yourself, one day you'll find yourself having fallen hard. We need Jesus. Thank God he's been given to us by God the Father. And as the song says, he's mine. He's mine. As I face the world, as I face sin, as I face the flesh, face the devil, I'm glad Jesus is.